Dave asked if I needed water. I think a hanky's usually more needed than a... Sorry, I will keep it together. Man up, Mark, man up. Imogen just mentioned that when she was speaking out in Africa, they used to say, what's the word? If you don't understand me this morning, do feel free to chip in with amen. It goes a long way. Dan was speaking here and he mentioned the word distraction. It's a big word, isn't it? And something that it happens to us all. It really does. And I'm someone that quite likes to keep up to date with the news on my phone, the BBC website. I'm going off the BBC. That might need to be edited. I'm not sure. But the more and more I read of news and hear the news across the world, it seems to be gaining momentum. It's usually bad news, obviously. It's quite dire. I don't know how we used to survive years ago when you'd hear news of somewhere 6 weeks later. You know, there'd be a letter coming by ship, or there'd be, you know, different... And I wonder, how did we survive? Was it a simpler life? I think it was. I'm not knocking it at all, because on Thursday night we prayed for many nations and many situations. But my distraction has been the news. And actually what it's done is it's totally thrown me back onto someone that we would describe as the helper or the comforter. If we are just so caught up with the cares of the world, some things get choked. So this morning I want to talk about the wonderful Holy Spirit. As the world gets darker and more confused, as the media bombards us with things, I think that the light will shine even brighter. The need for us to be a church, a people, a person that actually has this wonderful helper will be vital. And I'm just saying that just in my own circumstance. Just working in a workplace, doing the very mundane, nitty-gritty things that we have to do, which you all face tomorrow morning. Dan said 5 o'clock some of those kids are up. What are you doing at 5 in the morning tomorrow? Silence, you don't need to... Sleeping. Resting. But there is something that's going to take momentum, where we are going to have to depend and have a new reliance on this wonderful helper. You know, even I was thinking yesterday, I was just talking to different people at the fun day, and ones that don't yet know the Lord, and how we need his helper, just alone in conversation. It's very easy to jump in. You feel you've got the answers. You're ready to jump in when there's a little... Oh, the Lord tells us sometimes to be silent. He tells us, I felt the promptings before. Mark, keep silent on this. It's in my hands. Other times, he said, jump in. I've got a word that can just come out seasoned with grace, can go out and just go into a situation. He's wonderful. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. If I'm accused of being a bit super spiritual, then amazing. You can be super spiritual. It means that as long as you're living it, what you believe, that's wonderful. Isn't he great? He has given us a helper. If we did not have him, I keep thinking about the guys on the boat when they were told to come out, and then the storm was coming, their eyes were off the Lord, and then they... He gave us a helper that we may have our eyes totally fixed on him. One of the amazing things what the Holy Spirit does is that he reveals Jesus in our lives. I spent years, about 2 years, trying to work out in my own life, what was the Holy Spirit? What did he do? Why did I need him? I had all the teaching before, the preaching about mentioning the Holy Spirit, and it totally baffled me. I was waiting for some lightning strike to come down and strike me, and then I'd be this person that kind of hovers on the floor, and whatever I say, it's all... Can I just say, it works in the very nitty-gritty of our lives. It was when I was in Canada, and really saying to the Lord, would you just do this thing that I read it that is so simple of receiving the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you just give me it? I want it. And it was, it just caused, if this helps for young people, then I hope it goes some way. But I was confused. I didn't know what he did. I didn't know who he was. And then I even had to ask a guy out there in Canada, and I said to him, look, I'm not sure if I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I haven't felt anything that's going to move me into kind of release the hands up in the air. And he said, you have the Spirit. Now just go and believe. And I went away and I went to the room, the bedroom in the house in Canada, and I got on my knees and I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. And then from that time, I just felt that actually my eyes, in some ways, instantly started to come off myself. That's an amazing thing. Your eyes are off yourself. It was the first time I had a consciousness, not of my own failings, not of who I wasn't, not of who I maybe should be. Expectation in church, throw it out the window. It is a huge thing. It needs to be thrown out. I'll be really strong in it. And that's someone that's just been brought up in a Christian church, loving parents, expectation. And we actually bring the expectation on ourselves. It needs to go out there. And when it's out there, growth happens. You can see it amongst here. Some of the young men, amazing. They're growing in the Lord. Doing things. Like the three that were here. Imogen. That's wonderful. It's the wonderful helper. He's coming, he's prompting. I saw someone yesterday, and he went and talked to a lad who was just on his own. He went out from his comfort zone and he went and talked with that boy. That's wonderful. That's a sign. In the very nitty gritty. I love the work of the Lord. I love it that he's given us a helper. Here's some descriptions of him. I always do notes and then I never refer to them. The Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of life. We've heard about life, haven't we? Do you remember what those children were so thankful for? What we heard earlier on was just life. Just life. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. You know, you need understanding on some books when you read in the Bible. You need the Lord's Spirit to help you understand them. I put my hands up. I've had a summer of trying to read through, they're often described as the writings, which are books that we often, sometimes they can collect a little bit of dust. Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes. Last week, Brian mentioned about Leviticus. We're going to read the book of Leviticus. And then there was laughter. Was that last week? Or the week? And I've been going through the writings of these books. And it's the Song of Songs. Basically Solomon's best song. Just amazing. Job. I was reading through Job when I was on holiday in Cornwall. In a tent. Reading Job. And I did keep it together. I did smile a few times reading it. But man, don't neglect those books. What did I read recently? How do we read our Bibles? We often read our Bibles and we're looking for one verse or even a word in a verse that will speak into our situation. And you can just be scratching around or your daily light and you're thinking, that's great, but you're in some ways you're reading it for yourself. Then there's another way. You can read it for a passage. When you're reading a passage, this is often, you'd say, if you're speaking or you're sharing with other people, you read a passage. And then I read this great quote that if you read the whole book, it's there that you find God. Did you get... There's this thing of you're reading something for yourself and it's small, it's a verse or a word, then a passage for the people. But if you read the whole book, there that you'll find God. And when I read through Job, I realised that you find God in it. Incredible. Song of Solomon. You find God in it. Rise, my love, my fair one, come away. Wonderful language. He's the Spirit of grace. He's the Spirit of glory. He's the Spirit of promise. He's the Spirit of judgment and burning. We don't often say that one, do we? He's the Spirit of holiness. He's the teacher, the author of scripture, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the convictor of sin. He's the deposit, the seal, the guide, the indweller of believers, the intercessor, the revealer, the Spirit of truth, and he's the witness. He's wonderful. We have a helper. I've been challenged that when I arrive on a Thursday night in a prayer meeting, if I just hear the needs and the cares which is right, and I did not have a helper, I'd feel absolutely crushed before I start. When I ask and chat to people at work and they're talking about some of the dire situations they have in their lives, if I did not have the helper, I would be absolutely broken. He's wonderful. He wants freedom to move amongst us. Last week we prayed for all the youngsters here going into a new term. It was last week, wasn't it? And they all stood here. Apologies for this, but one of the guys, I think it was John, was here, and he just mentioned his daughter, who doesn't know the Lord yet. My heart, something in my heart, was spirit, rushed in, Lord, for her. And I realised that she was going to study in Plymouth. And we used to live in the southwest in Exeter. We were the rivals of Plymouth, by the way. But that's a... sorry, that's a sporting thing. I could speak for hours on that, but that's terrible, isn't it? But as you approach Plymouth, there's a sign. And it says, welcome, city of Plymouth. And then in the middle of the sign, it says, Spirit of Discovery. And when... John mentioned, in my heart something leaped. It said that she would discover the Lord Jesus and discover that he has given his wonderful Holy Spirit, part of the wonderful triune God. It's incredible. And I know here this morning there's things that have been said almost so much, and I've got a slow mind, but I'm trying to think about what was said when the Lord spoke through Lindsay, that there are many riches. Wasn't it? God had many riches. One of the great riches which he's given is this wonderful, wonderful helper. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to a book which I'm trying to get through. And it's another one which I've not found easy to read. Does anyone struggle sometimes, understand? No? Yes, there's a hand up. But do you know what? I think the Lord is, that's the great challenge. He brings something out from the reading over it, and then you look at it again, and then you realise something sinks in. If you've got a noggin like this one, it's probably about five times, and then you actually get what he's saying. I'm in Ezekiel, and I'm at an area which you would know. I'm sure some of you would know. Just turn to chapter 36. Excuse me a minute. The first thing to say about Ezekiel is that Israel at the time was going through a horrendous time. And this morning we've sung a lot about the name of Jesus, and we've said about his name, powerful, wonderful, beautiful. The actual, at this time of Ezekiel, God's name was being profaned. It was being muddied. Another word for his meaning, it was being polluted. Incredible. It was going through such a dire time. And if you read the first 24 chapters of Ezekiel, man, it is doom and gloom. But if you don't read that, and you then just pick out the bits that really, I think you missed something. So I'm being open and honest, but I've kind of trudged through the doom and gloom to, I think, actually then you God is revealed in a book, not just a specific place. I just want to try and illustrate something about the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel actually does speak a lot about the Spirit. And just go with me, is that okay? Ezekiel, which he really was a man that kind of stepped into the gap. There was no one else. God really wanted someone. And he wasn't even actually in the place where all this was going on. He was in Babylon. But actually, he stepped up to the plate. And he stepped into the gap. And God spoke through him. And these prophecies. Incredible. I want to just try and illustrate the process about the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 36, it says this. Verse 21. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name. Isn't it interesting? So much about his name. Incredible. Which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations. Please, when you read this, read it in context like I'm trying to, but also something of the Spirit, I believe, will speak to our own hearts. Do you understand what I mean? When something just leaps out. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave you to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. One of the things that, when I was reading all the beginning of Ezekiel, one of the three things that really stood out to me was, there was idolatry, there was ingratitude, and there is immorality. One of the three biggest things. In actual fact, if you link that now, I think that's probably one of the three things that is so apparent now. There is massive idolatry. There is huge immorality that's basically played through television sets. Anything that you can, any means that they would, it's there. And ingratitude. If there is a generation that's ingratitude, it's probably ours now. Interesting, isn't it? But here's the amazing thing. Let's skip on. It says this, chapter 37. Ezekiel gets taken on this amazing journey. It's quite hard not to actually kind of fly with him on it. Okay, I was reading it. Go with me on this. But you get taken on this journey with him. A different viewpoint, okay? He's looking down on an area, a valley, okay? Just go with me on it, okay? You can.
The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus the Lord God to these bones says to the Lord God, thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, then you shall know that I am the Lord. And it goes on, I'll carry on in a minute, but just the amazing thing about the breath of the Lord Jesus. This hymn that we sing here, 536 in the red, Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I ever never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. Wonderful truth. And you know what? That's not just something that you can read. It's actually something that can be lived out. Bless the Lord. He's made it available that we can live it out. To those in our families that are breaking. To those that we work with that are breaking. For those that are actually seeking the light and truth. Amazingly and graciously the Lord's made it that we can be the light. One word that really caught me, and if I pronounce it wrong, then you can correct me, maybe someone medical amongst you. It's this word, sinew. Is that right? Hey, I've done okay there. It says here, in verse 6, I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you. And I was just thinking about sinews, you know. I get caught with a word and then I have to work out what it is, what it means. And, you know, we use terms for the body like you've got an eye for interior design. You've got a stomach for the fight. There's others as well, isn't there? And I thought about muscle. You've got muscle for strength. And one of the things about sinew is it's like your tendons. And I was thinking about the physical thing about when the Lord breathed upon them, he put these tendons to basically bind together muscle onto bone. And I was actually there trying to think about that actually happening. All these dry bones, and boy, they were dry bones. You know what the kind of metaphorically saying? Basically, downcast spirit. Dry bones. That's a dry down, and you can put your hands up, you don't need to, but downcast spirit? Does anyone get a little bit, your spirit's low? My hands are up. Downcast? Something comes in and just rocks our stability. Something comes in and takes our attention. Something happens maybe in the family. And something, our spirit just goes down. It plummets. And this thing here, it just says about dry bones. And then graciously the Lord comes and he puts these sinews onto the actual bone. He strengthens. I was trying to find a muscle. Sorry. It's gone. Where's it gone?
just drop.
But this amazing thing, it pictures the Holy Spirit that he strengthens. He strengthens our steps. If you read Paul, he always says that walking in the Spirit. And it's this momentum, it's this walking, isn't it? And this thing, it really spoke to me that actually he doesn't just put flesh on our bones, and you might hear a song, flesh on the bones, and then you... It's the sinew, it's the thing that binds the muscle to the bone. He needs our frame now to do the work of the Lord. He involves us to do the work of the Lord. Do you know what I mean? Physically, the Lord wants us as a church to do. So he puts the sinews on the bones, which gather your muscle. If you've got any muscle, we all have some more than others. And he wants us to move. Then he wants to breathe that wonderful life into us. Isn't it just fantastic? I love it. I've been excited at work, thinking about sinews. And if you've had any trauma before, which I don't want to refer to, the old dodgy knee here. One of the worst things is things come displaced. And I've had six or seven times the old knee has been displaced. That's through self playing football. But it's painful. It's a dislocation. You've come separated from things. What the tendons do, it keeps you so knit. And if you look into the language behind it, sinew, it says basically, he binds. The Holy Spirit binds. He strengthens. Do you want to be strengthened? I've asked those questions over and over. Do I want to be? And that's just, you may think, well, that's a strange question. But actually, there is something in wanting to be strengthened. You have to position yourself. Maybe you have to take a couple steps down off something. And just say, Lord, come. Put some sinews on me. Get these rattly bones and breathe into them. You know, when it says about breathing into the bones, I thought of the illustration of when he breathed into life into the nostrils, wasn't it? Do you remember he just broke Adam's, wasn't it? And it wasn't this forceful kind of, I won't do it, because it was just this, just gentle, just kept flowing in. You know, the Holy Spirit can, I think I read it, and maybe it's in one of Les Wheeldon's books, but he's gentle, but he can be almost be not scared off, but he can be, you know, you can just push him out by the way that you are, by maybe something you've said. You can disperse it. We have to be very gentle, but also strong in his strength. Do you get what I'm saying? We have to be like a vessel that something would just flow in and out. Muscle means strength. Sinew, Lord, come and in your church bring sinew on the bones, Lord, breathe breath into us. One of the things it says here in my notes, it's called the chief supporting force. It ties into its anatomical function as a stabilizing unit. Isn't that great? The Holy Spirit is a stabilizing unit. I can vouch for that. He keeps your feet on the floor. He lets you trudge through the things that sometimes you find hard. But the amazing thing is, you know he's in you. He's with you. He's around you. He's preparing a situation that you will go in face. Last week I wanted to get up with the youngsters because in 2 weeks' time I go up to university. I've not sat in a classroom for 20 odd years. I can write and I can read. But Lord, I want your strength just to be in me. He can help us study. He can help us talk to the one that's on his own, that may be hurting. He can diffuse things in families. Recently we had a funeral in the family. My nan passed away, and she was a good age. She was very ill at the end. And we went to see her and went up to her room. She was on the bed and I was just thinking, Lord, just give me an opportunity. She's got dementia. She had quite sort of an angry cancer near the end. And I thought, you know what, even amongst this, the Lord, I'm sure, could do something. That was my hope. And I just was sat on her bed and I just held her hand and I just said to her, I said, Nan, do you know that the Lord's, his arms are wide open for you? It's the only thing I could say. The Lord's arms are wide open for you. And I don't know what was done, whether anything was done. My eldest son said to me, Dad, would Nan go, is Nan going to go to heaven? And I said, son, I'm not sure. And then he said, is it quite scary to be unsure? I thought, wow, that's quite profound. It's very true. Very true. And I just left it with the Lord. And there was some, going back to the funeral, there was some heartache in the family. There was a situation that got kind of escalated and none of the family are believers. And a situation happened where there'd been just her take with my dad and his sister. And anyway, it was overshadowing the funeral, you know, the preparation for it. And then as we all got there on the day, there seemed to be a peace that came and settled things. And then Dad was doing a eulogy and sharing something about his mum. And then he started to, I think it must run in the family, maybe, I don't know. But started to, the voice started to go a bit. Like, and then I realised that the sister that would, where there was hurt, I saw a little hand just come out and it went in here to my dad's arm. And there was something where I thought, oh Lord, if there's ever any time and I believe that there's something that could do something, and it's just that the moving of the Spirit can come into a situation, whether it's dire or if it's, he comes in gently and his hand just comes in and just settles things down. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it may be me just overthinking things, but there was something just inside of me. I thought, actually, all I wanted was some peace in that situation, and from just to be a family again and to love. And then you realise, actually, the Lord's gone, he's gone even further. He wants to come in and just stretch his hand in and just, he helps. Practically speaking, this weekend and all the things that are done for the fun day is a massive practical outworking. And when things are done in wonderful unity, it's just, for me, it speaks of the Lord Jesus, and he's given a spirit to help us. People just do things. And when you do it, it's done in the right way. There's a sweetness. Even when you put up one of the blinds the wrong way around, and someone says, that's the wrong way around. Great, sorry. Let's do it so the window's not on the inside. But that's... Sorry. But it's just being together. The Lord strengthens through it. You know, I was in the prayer meeting and we mentioned about the fun day, and it's next to the day of prayer down in... Do you know what? The Lord can work in a fun day and he can work in a day of prayer. His Spirit is just working out in so many areas. Working in the two people that came from my work. You know, they felt something sweet. They felt love. Amazing. And other places too. Not just restricted to... Amazing. Rope is the sinew of any sailing vessel. I didn't make that up, by the way. Rope is the sinew of any sailing vessel. That stuck with me. If you're trying to go somewhere, I don't know where, you're on a journey, we're all on a journey, but rope is essential. And I thought of sinew and I thought about the Holy Spirit. He's essential to where we're going. Precious Lord. One of the key phrases in Ezekiel when you read through it is this. I started to count how many times it says it, and then I either fell asleep in the evening or the Lord knows. The key phrase is this: then you will know that I am the Lord. It's repeated all the way through.
60 times.
60. Chris, you didn't just do that then, did you? That's amazing. That's a quick... 60 times. Any other... One of the things is, it's actually quite key in understanding Ezekiel. Seeing how God treats this nation, and how the nations around Israel were kind of basically, at one stage, Israel was even worse than the surrounding nations. And just the journeying of God with this nation just speaks amazingly of his incredible grace. And then, so he could say things like this: then you will know that I am the Lord. The way he dealt with people, the way he dealt with a people, a nation, just because he wanted them. Do you know that he wants you? He wants your focus. He wants your movement to be in him. Precious Lord. Oh, the time. Sorry, I must... John 7 says, out of here, rivers of living water will flow. Romans 8, he reveals the Father. It was prayed about earlier on. He reveals the Father. He purifies. He makes our conduct of life clean. John the Baptist said that he will baptize with for the remission of sins. Jesus came baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire, basically, something that kind of purifies and cleans. And we've read about cleaning earlier on. Got to be clean first. He cleans first, and then he does the things of bones, the sinew. Then he breathes upon, and then there's a great army. I love the picture of the great army. Sorry, I'm rushing now. But there is a great army. And we may see dry bones, but the Lord, he sees an army. Precious Lord. Through growth, there will be evidence. As mentioned earlier on by the girls, there will be evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He's precious. We have a helper. We have an incredible helper. Helps me on that, sometimes, that mundane journey down to mould. And when you say mould, does that give you an impression of a place that's really... You know, even in mould, there can be something, I believe... No, it is a good little town. It's, but even in that place, I believe there can be life. I'm not convincing you. There is a market there on a Wednesday. But there is life there. There is life there. There's life in a little... I trust the Lord and his Spirit is there. And in all your situations where you're at, you can have this thing. If you've got this river that's just flowing out, it will affect. It will affect. Precious Lord. He empowers. He gives life. John 3. Born of the flesh and the Spirit. John 6. The Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit gives power for service. And I was thinking about all the Old Testament ones for power for service. Think of Joshua. Amazing example of leadership skills. He was a brilliant commander of an army. Fantastic. Joshua. Gideon. Samson. Saul going to battle. David to kingship. What a great king. The disciples were empowered to be what? What was one of the first things that the disciples were empowered to do?
Witness.
That's an incredible thing, isn't it? If you're empowered straight away to witness, basically that means don't have your eyes on yourself. Have your eyes out. Looking at people. Firstly on the Lord, you know where I'm coming from. But actually for those that don't yet know the Lord. One of the first things, wasn't it? Incredible. He gives us power. Basically says, take your rucksack. That's all you need. Amazing. We need to finish. Again, I'm never that good at finishing. But the Lord, he is wonderful, isn't he? Should I just pray? Lord, 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 here we are, Lord. Lord, thank you that you see more than just the dry bones, Lord. Lord, for anyone here this morning that in some ways is downcast of spirit, Lord, thank you that we can look this morning and know that there is a wonderful helper. This great Spirit of God that can come, Lord, and can touch, bring strength, Lord, to our lives. Lord, can breathe only your breath, Lord. Nothing that we can motivate ourselves, Lord Jesus, but here we are this morning and say, Lord, breathe upon us again, Lord. Lord, bring life to these bones, Lord. Lord, we worship you. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for all that we've heard. Lord, you're rich beyond measure. Lord, and this wonderful Spirit, Lord, is abundant, Lord. It wants to be pushed out from you, Lord. You want to give it, Lord. Lord, for anyone that's confused or doesn't know about it, Lord, you want to just push it on them, Lord Jesus. Lord, one of the hardest things we do is to receive. Lord, thank you that you've made it able for us and easy for us to receive, Lord. And we, through faith, Lord Jesus, say that would you breathe upon us again, Lord. Breathe into our families, our situations. Lord, workplaces. Lord, sons and daughters that don't yet know you. Lord, for the girl down in Plymouth, Lord, that she would discover again your wonderful Spirit. Lord, thank you that it's the Spirit that brings us conviction of sin. Thank you that it brings us into a new consciousness, Lord, of right and wrong. Oh, Lord. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you that it's you that strengthens our steps. And you see this army, Lord. Lord, an army to do service, Lord. Lord, it's prayed earlier on that you have no rival. Lord, you don't have a rival, but Lord, you amazingly want to use us, Lord Jesus. Now on this place, Lord. Lord, to do your work. Lord, strengthen our steps, Lord, we pray. In your wonderful name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yeah.